Hello, and welcome to the latest Technology Spotlight on the KnowledgeCast podcast, brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge. KnowledgeCast is a look into the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything in between. I'm Joe Hilger, co-founder and COO of Enterprise Knowledge. Today, we're going to talk to RWS Group and Joe Pearman, the Director of Product Management. Welcome, Joe. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be here.
Joe is in charge of Tridion Docs, which is one of the leading headless CMS solutions on the market today. Joe, tell us a little more about Tridion Docs. What is the elevator pitch and why should our listeners be excited about it?
Good question, Joe. So the word excited is a good one because there's a couple of different ways you can take that, I would say, in relation to Tridion Docs. It certainly is an exciting product to be working with and it does exciting things for our customers in the sense that it's a way to truly kind of deliver on this promise of getting the right content to the right people at the right time. This is something that we've heard a lot of in various contexts. And our whole approach to kind of the creation and the management of content and the way we kind of semantically tag it and everything means that we actually do really well about exactly that task, about getting the right content to the right people on the right channel at the right time. So the channel is a very exciting area. You know, we're not just talking about web pages and such like. It's all sorts of different digital touch points now that people are looking for their content on. And so that's quite possible with what we do. So it's a content management system. And what kind of content is it? It's really content that lets people do their jobs. It enables people to do their jobs. And what kind of jobs are we talking about? This tends to be kind of highly skilled jobs with some degree of risk in it, you might say, typically. So it could be accountants, and they're in charge of putting into practice accounting guidelines. So clearly those guidelines have to be spot on. Otherwise, they're going to be in some trouble. It could be doctors, and it's medical information to help them diagnose patients on the spot. Often it's kind of in terms of manufacturing, and it could be field service engineers. So they're fixing complex machinery, and you might think, well, less risk there, but we're talking about some huge and highly dangerous machinery in some ways here. So, you know, like big mining machines, and if one of those goes wrong, that could do some damage. So, kind of content that's pretty important to get right. And so that's the content we often deal with. And so, yeah, the word excitement. Well, actually, in those domains, there's a kind of excitement you don't want, right? Which is the kind of excitement that keeps you up at night or, you know, gets you all panicking because you've put this content out into the world and now it's going to get you into trouble financially, legally, health and safety or something like that. We try to minimize that kind of excitement and we're pretty good at it because the whole approach that we take is about governing this content really, really well from the source, from the authoring to the way we manage it and the way we ultimately deliver it, making sure it goes through solid workflows, of course. But also something about our whole approach to kind of breaking stuff up into chunks, I would say. This is a key ingredient of making the content accurate and reducing risk.
Yeah, Joe, that's such an important point. The idea of documents are, in my mind, dead in the long term. Someone working in a mine or someone working with some very important equipment, and they've got a question that they need an answer to. If you deliver them a 50-page document, and this is kind of an emergency, doesn't sound like that's going to be giving people the right information at the right time.
No, absolutely. This is the case. And seemed to take people a little while to realize this. You know, this kind of technology, this product came about really in the big days of kind of technical communications, primarily software documentation, when that all kind of really took off and this whole approach kind of grew. And it was around that time that people started questioning as well. It's like, I've got this massive kind of manual. Maybe it's ring binders, you know, all these binders of pages for the software. And is anybody actually reading all that stuff? Or do they just need the bit that tells them exactly what to do and how to help them make a decision?
You remember they used to send, it's funny, you just reminded me of this. They used to send out manuals in 3-ring binders. And as they'd replace sections, you'd open your binder, you'd take out the old pages, put in the new, and that was your componentized content management. Now that we've gone digital, I think we can do a lot better.
Yeah.
So I like all that stuff. Who should care about this? We talked about this. Who are the real buyers of Tridion Docs?
So in a way, that this reflects this journey, I would say, from the kind of the tech doc's origin, where the buyers would typically be, and we're more talking about, you know, it used to be more software companies, manufacturing companies. They're still big customers of ours. We still do a lot for them. But this, it used to be predominantly that area, I would say. And you would tend to deal with department heads, documentation team leads, information development departments, user education, this kind of thing. So more on a kind of a department level at that time. And I would say that, well, a number of things we've been working on. So this probably needs unpacked a little. Because in those days, the technology, it was powerful, but you had to be pretty much of a techie to get the most from it, to be honest. Just as you were writing about software, you had to be pretty much of the mindset of a software developer to even write some of this content. And when you look at the authoring tools that used to be around, it looks like an IDE, like a programming IDE, like a programmer's tool. So a little bit intimidating, you know, you get the kind of the aeroplane cockpit effect with all these buttons and stuff. And things have evolved since then, because it seems there are other industries. You know, I mentioned kind of accounting, there's other financial services, there's kind of medical, there's pharmaceutical, all of these kind of verticals that would love to get these benefits of cost savings, increased accuracy, different ways to deliver your content. Totally makes sense to them. You know, they've got large scale content challenges that they need solved. And yet they don't want to become these techie coding experts just to write some content. So in a way, we spent a lot of effort in the product to expand its appeal, to make it a lot easier to adopt, I would say, for kind of normal professional human beings who aren't necessarily of the mindset of a software developer, and really making it feel somewhat familiar to somebody who knows Microsoft Word, somewhat better in some ways, I would say, than Word. And in the sense that there's not so much that can go wrong. Really make it a very familiar environment, but very kind of centralized, very collaborative, so that everybody can see what's going on and kind of feedback their own input at the right point in time and so on. So I spent a lot of effort on that, which then relates back to the question about who should be interested, to say, well, now, you know, it can very much be like a CIO should be taking attention to this, especially for a company where the content is part of your product as such. You know, a lot of your revenue might come through the content. That's really significant part of your business, and that needs to get attention at the executive level, I would say. So CIOs, heads of transformation, you know, moving from much older ways of doing things, the kind of document-oriented ways, into a much more modern way of looking at delivering content. Could be chief data officers as well. There's not one job title that I can point to, but it's kind of moved up a level, and it's people who are generally interested in the strategic value of information and content in their enterprises as well now.
It's interesting, as we start to change that paradigm and get rid of the use of documents as a way of capturing and storing information, what happens is these knowledge assets become things that you can reuse. And it really becomes critical downstream for doing things like chatbots, looking at products where you're giving search that has answers, right? And really, in a lot of ways, Joe, what you're trying to do is create content at the source that is reusable and able to deliver exactly what someone needs at a componentized level, and then can be assembled to something larger if that's how they want it. To me, that's a lot of what Tridion Docs is about. Would you agree?
Definitely. So the componentized kind of aspect comes in two ways. And one of them is exactly this that you're talking about, the fact that we've always treated content as kind of discrete, purposeful chunks of information that then are great to kind of surface in a chatbot interaction. To be fair, so the content's not always going to be like a single data point that you want to get. It's often like a bit of a larger kind of headed section, and could be diagrams and things. But the thing is, it's still like one purposeful component. And that's a really great thing to surface in chatbots, for example. Maybe also proactively, in terms of, think of employees having like a personal landing page, a kind of a dashboard, and it's stuff that you've been interested in recently, and we're suggesting you new kind of related content that will help you do your job even better. So chatbots for sure, these kind of landing pages, all sorts of ways to get these relevant chunks of information.
Yeah, you know, and another change has been the use of mobile. I'm guessing some of your clients are getting information delivered to them using mobile products so that they can get it out in the field.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'd given the example of the field service engineers. This is a really important thing. So it's often, you know, tablets, it's other HMI devices, you know, so kind of screens that are right there at the point where you need to work with that piece of machinery and so on. So that's a big part of it for sure. Plus, of course, whoever you are, you know, be you doctor, accountant, whoever, you tend to be doing a lot more on mobile these days. And, you know, I think we've long gotten past that picture of mobile as being like, I'm running around an airport and I need like a single data point. It's like, you know, we got these rather large screens on things. We want to engage with content properly these days. So yes, mobile, yes, making it work on mobile, but not in that sense of kind of, how would you say, dumbing it down or something like that.
Yeah, it's really about purposeful information, purposeful components of information that really matter and being able to deliver that so that someone can look at it and take action right away.
Absolutely.
I like that thought.
Yeah. And that's kind of key to getting the most out of the system. So I did mention the kind of the accuracy benefits, and you might be thinking, well, okay, I understand like the delivering the right chunks. Why am I talking about like reducing risk and increasing accuracy? And it's because you author in these purposeful chunks. You know, if you're doing it right, you already have an idea. Here's this thing, we call it a topic, but it's basically a headed section. I write it for this particular kind of user task, user goal, and then it's done. And I get it reviewed, I get it probably translated, I get it kind of locked down. And it might be part of a much bigger kind of content set that needs updated, whether it's this year's guidelines, this is regulations or a new product or whatever it is, right? So you're going to carry on developing bits for the other user goals as well. You're going to develop more components, but it's this kind of iterative approach to it. So that thing that you've just written, got approved, got translated, you don't have to do that again. For as long as the content doesn't change, it's done. You can use that in any number of different deliverables and it stays the same and it's clearly governed. And so that's a part of the benefit of componentization here.
It really does remind you how important it can be to deliver the right content and to deliver these chunks. You know, as you've talked about this, Joe, it leads me to that discussion we always have with our customers about centralized content management or information management versus decentralized. How do you handle these componentized content systems like this? Is it a central team? Can you put it out there for a wide audience to work? What's the best approach?
It's a great question, and there's a couple of ways I'd approach that. So first of all, it used to be these small, somewhat specialized teams of content creators, of authors, technical authors. And then you would get your subject matter experts from the wider business to kind of contribute little bits of content. Maybe they would send you like a Word document or something. Maybe you would give them access through some little kind of form and they get to fill in a few bits. And then they kind of, if it's this form, they hit send and it disappears into a black hole and they wonder what happened to it. And it's not very scalable, really. And particularly, you know, these are highly kind of skilled professionals, the doctors, the accountants, the engineers. And it's like, we're only trusting them to write these few sentences and then the tech authors have to do their magic. This isn't going to scale, not in the current world, where you expect the SMEs to really have a lot more control over the information that gets out to its consumers. And so what we've done with making the whole kind of collaborative authoring and reviewing process a lot easier is also really scale it up. And think about reviews, for example. It used to be an author would send out a PDF to get reviewed. So far, so good. It comes back like 50 different variants, comments all over the place. That author then has to consolidate everything. Often then Excel will come into the picture, right? You're maintaining all this in different Excel rows and stuff, and it's a bit messy and inefficient. So by really democratizing that, by saying we've built this somewhat sophisticated, I would say, under the hood system that means that everybody can comment on this piece of content, you know, if they've got the permissions to do so, they can comment on this piece of content. At the same time, it can be dozens and dozens of people all around the enterprise, and you can consolidate all that feedback as an authoring team, and you can act on it quite nicely. So in terms of kind of distributing the task in that way, we've done a lot, I would say. And then you can also think, do you have different core authoring teams as well, like in different regions and so on? You could take this case of pharmaceutical content, where you tend to have a core team producing the authoritative information around a new drug or something. And then you need to repurpose it for your different regions and so on. And the regional teams will want to have some control over the relevant bits. It could be a legal page that needs inserted, some other content that needs tweaked. But it's this interesting kind of a TikTok effect. So you've got your trunk from the core team, you've got this regional branch, and they need to interact, but still have a very controlled process. So it's not like copying Word documents or so on. And so there are ways to use the tool to do that. I mean, I won't go into too many details today, but Tridion Docs is really well set up to enable these kinds of distributed workflows, I would say.
Sounds like, Joe, when you describe this, you've created a simple editor that hides some of the complexity of componentized content management, and you've tied that together with a very flexible workflow so that you can support the process of creating, editing, and distributing content. Does that really sum up what you talked about in a very simple manner?
Yeah, absolutely. Reducing the barrier to entry and getting the benefits of this whole componentized approach.
I like that, because now what you've said is anyone, that subject matter expert, can contribute their content, but you've got a nice workflow that allows it to be fixed, checked, and published out. So instead of this one core little team, as you talked about, that does all the writing using only half of their talents, you've got a situation where the people doing the day-to-day work are contributing thoughts and ideas. It's getting kind of enhanced or validated, and then it's pushed out. And so it's not only the right information at the right time, but it's information you can trust and rely on. And that's super important. So Tridion Docs is really one of the leaders in this space. What makes your product better than the others? Why are you all unique?
There are a couple of things I would say. One of them is kind of our whole approach to content architecture from the start has been, as you say, this kind of flexible workflow, the ability to kind of pick any version of any component and kind of pick and mix what you need for any given deliverable. So in this way, and it's a very usable interface to do this, by the way, it's not like you have to be kind of digging around in various folders or whatever it is, or wrestling with things that feel like, you know, software version control. It's a very kind of visual interface to do this, and you can pick exactly the right kind of governed pieces of content for any one deliverable. And the way that we do this is pretty unique still in the market. And so that's a strong point. I would say also our whole kind of enterprise readiness. As I mentioned, you know, the origin of this type of software was the kind of the software documentation boom of a decade or so ago. And so as such, you get a certain kind of cap on the size of things. And so you're looking for a tool that suits a department generally. And that's what where I would say, you know, other tools around, and they're perfectly good in their own way, but they're focused on that kind of departmental thing. Whereas we took it further and we realized we had to be a really serious offering to kind of large enterprises. And it's all sorts of things, you know, it's the way you engineer the tool, it's the security checking, it's all sorts of kind of automated code analysis. And, you know, I've been doing this job for 4 years now, and I have learned so much about these things you wouldn't believe. But it's all really, really important to enterprise customers to get it right and have that peace of mind that this is a very solid and scalable tool that's going to give them benefits for really years and years. There's another key point where we kind of stand out, which is the ability to deliver this structured, well-governed, componentized content headlessly. So I better unpack this term a little bit, headless. Headless CMSs, they became popular some years ago as a new way to deliver content. So not like the monolithic kind of web CMSs where it's all in one, the authoring, the management, and the delivery. But you really get choices. It's like a way to scale out the delivery and say any kind of endpoint can consume this content through an API. So whatever you can build in terms of different websites, different regional websites, different kind of mobile apps, it could be conversational interfaces, all sorts of things, or intranets, other portals that consume it. Whatever delivery channels you have, you can power them all through this headless delivery system. And it has to be pretty good to do that, of course. It needs to be able to scale and, you know, serve multi-regions and everything. But anyway, this is the core of the headless kind of promise. And so Tridion, because Tridion Docs is part of a broader platform, so the Tridion delivery component is really, it was one of the first headless delivery systems around. And we have this fully integrated into Tridion Docs, and it's kind of well-governed componentized content. So we have these two kind of ends of it. We have the very developer-friendly, modern, scalable delivery, and we have the reliable way to really control your content and its quality and so on. So that combination is unique in the market.
Looking back on it, your uniqueness is enterprise ready. Spot on. There's a lot of departmental solutions. So this is for organizations that are looking for something enterprise-wide. Tridion Docs is a great answer. I think that focus on flexibility and the ability to do the various workflows so that you can really decentralize more of your authoring is huge. And then lastly, this focus on headless CMS is just critical. There's a reason we're all heading in this direction because, again, we're not writing just documents anymore, and we're not just publishing to a web page. The way in which we produce information is being spread in a lot of different platforms, and we need to be respectful for it. Joe, we've known each other, I think, for a number of years, either through conferences or Twitter or following each other. And I've always really appreciated your technical vision and really your thoughts for the future. So with that in mind, what's next? What more can we do? What's your vision? And you can talk about Tridion Docs, or you can take it even further as to how we can make knowledge management, getting people the right information at the right time, better over time.
Great question. And I appreciate the kind comments, and the feeling's definitely mutual, Joe. I mean, from an early stage, I was looking at what Enterprise Knowledge was doing and really impressed with, you know, the quality of the work that you do and everything that you do to educate the field about best practices in knowledge management. So on that token, I mean, it's a great question and so many ways to attack it. Could I maybe turn it around a little bit, Joe, first of all, and just ask you a little bit, because I've seen, you know, a bit of the field of knowledge management coming from the very, you know, I think it was probably over a decade ago where we were looking for a system that would kind of magically fix everything, right? You just drop everything in there and your knowledge problems are solved. And then after that, there was a kind of a, how would you say, a little bit of a backlash to say, well, look, you know what? Not all the knowledge can be explicit in that way. A lot of it is implicit in people. And it's about the relationships with people and how do you connect with them and so on. So that became the big thing. How do you more efficiently connect people with each other and find out who are the experts? So I was just curious, you know, knowledge management theory, where's it gone since then?
You know, there's been some big changes. A lot of it is technology and automation that have had a huge impact. The one area to me that I'm really most excited about now is, and it's something you talked about, information has a place where it should reside. Videos need to be in a video system, right? Componentized content management needs to be in a componentized content management system. And while I've said documents are dead, and I hope one day they are, they're not really dead. So they need to be in a document management system. And the idea that we're going to put that all in one place and it's going to work well just doesn't work. And frankly, we've expanded beyond that. This is about data too. What about your big data lake and tying it together with unstructured information? And so what I'm most excited about is what we see is how we're starting to tie things together using fabrics or really graphs that say these two items in completely different repositories are aligned together and tie together in some fashion. So when I start to look and say, what is that single picture? What is that single holistic view of a topic, of a person, of a customer, of a product, of a project? How do I see that? We're now starting to be able to stitch that together and using graph as the tool that ties it together. That for me is exciting because, you know, we talked about decentralizing the management of content or the authoring of content, but you also want to decentralize information because it has a place and it doesn't always look the same and you can't expect that. So I would say that's an area in my mind that's really hot. By the way, I'm impressed that you turned this around on me. And of course, I fell into it and gave my own passionate plea as to what we should be doing. So good for you, Joe.
I appreciate the thoughts. And it's absolutely, I mean, it resonates with me very much. And this is an aspect of Tridion Docs, actually, that I didn't talk a lot about up to now in our conversation. But we also saw this in that the heritage of structured content is that you define the shape of something, right? What is this thing? What does it look like in terms of a template? Do I have here a title, a figure, or whatever? Which is great. And you can do a lot of things with that. But it doesn't tell you an awful lot in itself about who is this for? What does it mean? What am I useful for? What particular products do I relate to and all of this? And so that's where traditionally you've looked at taxonomy to solve these problems. And taxonomy, I think, is still very, very relevant, but in a certain sense. So what's really exciting now is this new wave of taxonomy and knowledge graphs that I know we're both very enthusiastic about. And the great thing, of course, is it's not taxonomy as in it's in a little box that we've defined and it's locked away and it's somebody's proprietary kind of names for things. And it's awfully hard to kind of do a mapping to anyone else's names for things. But we actually have this wonderful kind of flexible technical approach. The things like the SCOS standard, Simple Knowledge Organization System, and so on, to truly understand what we all are talking about, like different departments in an enterprise, right? So you can get a single kind of identifier that tells you all, we have the same idea about things. We're all talking about the same thing. And then, of course, beyond the enterprise, right? You could be using an industry standard knowledge model taxonomy, and you need to let everybody know what you're talking about. You know, are you in medicine? Are you talking about the calf, as in part of the leg? You know, are you talking about the heart? And so you have this wonderful way to say, globally, I have this one identifier which tells me what this stuff is about. So it gives me so many options also in terms of delivering my content. So whether it's to other departments and other areas in my enterprise, or really beyond that to whoever wants to consume it, and not having to kind of go through very, very painful remappings of things. I think that's something that really excites me. I suppose the only thing, like drawing the circle back to when we started with knowledge management, in that kind of like, oh, the system's going to fix everything if we only kind of drop our content in, then yeah, everything's taken care of. You can always run into these traps with technology. Even now, you still can. Whatever we're talking about is certainly a wave of perhaps slight over-enthusiasm about machine learning, which is great for many things, but not for everything, and has its limits. And graphs, of course, which are a wonderful, powerful tool, and yet you have to put some thought into it. How are you going to design it? How are you going to get the most out of it? It's the old kind of garbage in, garbage out. So I think that's the thing. It's like technology can really help shape the future, but we've got to be conscious about the way that we do it. And so I suppose it's taking it back to these purposeful chunks, even in a system like Tridion Docs. That sense of purpose. I'm writing this kind of section with a purpose in mind for a certain audience, and therefore I can really clearly kind of tag this semantically. I can understand from a big knowledge graph how it relates to which different products, which different users, and so on and so on. Because I've taken that time in the first place to just specify what this thing was and get some agreement. And even with taxonomies, it's like now there's all sorts of ways that I can get like so many different flavors of the same taxonomy among different teams, and you can have clever ways to map them together, and but we're all using different names for the same idea. And sure, yes, sometimes you would need to do that. But you know what? If you don't need to do that, and you can actually just as humans agree on some common names for things, it's always going to be easier. So I would say using the technology sensibly with a real idea of the purpose, that's the way to get the value and realize these benefits that we're talking about.
You know, Joe, that's such a great non-theoretical approach to this. It's practical. What you've said is, let's write good content, structured in a way that it's reusable. And whatever technology will be here today or tomorrow, that's okay, because the meaningfulness of the content you've created and the reusableness of it means that it's going to last longer than the fad of the day. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful way to look at it. So, you know, I asked you, what's the best way to improve knowledge management? You know, and you turned that on me, which was very creative. Thank you. But what I just heard you say is, write good content that's meaningful, that's at the right size and amount, and it will be reusable and last over time for any technology that we use in the future.
Absolutely.
Joe, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on. And for all of our listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of KnowledgeCast. To check out more information on knowledge management and knowledge management systems, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. And Joe, I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Joe.